Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. Simon Long and Chris Holt here as always. And we're joined again by Nick Webster. Good evening, Nick, mate. This is now becoming a regular occurrence, you coming on this show. It's good to have you back, mate. How are we doing?
Good evening, mate. Always a pleasure to talk to Derby with you guys.
Oh, it's special, mate. That is special. So are we enjoying the pre-season so far, Nick?
I've not been yet.
Have you not been to one?
No. I would have gone abroad, but the whole 12 o'clock kickoff bothered me. I hate them at the best of times. No matter, for me, you know, I've done Kaiserslautern, Bohemians, Mallorca when we played with under Cluffy, and where else we've been, at Austria,
yeah.
In the rain and grass. And for me, a game like that is all about everyone having beers in the local town square, flags out the lot. And for me, it didn't cut the mustard with it. I'm not criticising the club on that because obviously it was just a training kind of game. But I personally have no interest in going to it for that reason alone. So, yeah, I didn't bother. But, you know, it's just about putting energy in the legs, I suppose, isn't it, for the lads. And they've got a few more coming up, which I'm going to Sheffield United and Chesterfield on Wednesday. Keep forgetting. Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, Chesterfield. See, I forgot about the Chesterfield game, to be honest. Generally, it's just like they've planked in midweek out of nowhere. I was a bit strange.
7 p.m. kickoff as well.
Well, talk about random. The Salford one was 11 a.m. I was like waiting at 3 o'clock. Thought, yeah, I've bought it. I'll watch it at 3 o'clock. And then when I seen on Facebook the team news come up, I was like, hey, yeah. That's a bit early. And then realised it was 11. Was it 11 o'clock? Yeah. I was like, right, I'm watching the football then.
Yeah, it's all a bit weird. Yeah.
And Chris, mate, how are we doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm very well, thank you. I was just letting you two waffle away and talk about Spain. I think the kickoff was early because the temperatures were ridiculous, weren't they? Weren't they like 35 degrees, something ludicrous?
Yeah, something daft like that. It's this crazy. Me and Nick have just been talking about this, actually, just before we came on air, about the ridiculous so-called heat wave in Europe that's going on. Like they've never seen 38, 40 degree temperatures before, but... Oh, well. Anyway, so football. First of all, then, I think me and Chris, well, me more than Chris, need to apologise about last week's show where I said, nah, it's bullshit about Connor Washington signing. And then literally an hour after I put the podcast out, Derby announced that Connor Washington had signed. So, yeah. And also Sonny Bradley, which we did get right. We did sort of maybe predict that one, but I think that was a bit of an obvious one. So yeah, Connor Washington then. Nick, I'm going to start with you on this one. We're going to have a fresh opinion on this one. Connor Washington, good signing or not?
Good signing.
You're a good signing, are you?
Yeah, workhorse.
Even though his lack of goals?
Yeah, you could argue that's a concern. I think we're still in the market for a striker, so I don't think we should be under any illusion that he is going to be the striker and that's it. I think if you look at Collins and Washington, I think all of a sudden you can squeeze one more 25, 28-year-old or a potential loan in there, which we've got to remember, we're going to be signing a couple of Premier League loan players, aren't we? So one might think that that's going to be a striker like Lewis Dobbin, etc. I think Connor Washington offers a different dynamic. I mean, I was listening to Paul Warne on the radio the other day and he was saying that he stretches play. So he's bought for a specific reason and that is to stretch play. And I like that. I like that idea of that kind of player. Goals don't concern me. They really don't. I think we'll have other players that will do that. I want to see Collins bag loads of goals this year and I want to see the other striker do it. I think Washington will be a useful signing and I think it's really good. And of course, he's going to be a hungry player as well, which we've touched many times before. about this. He's going to be hungry to succeed at Derby. So for me, absolute thumbs up.
Yeah, I guess it's one of them. I suppose, I know Chris certainly didn't, I certainly didn't expect Dizzy to be a 25 goals. I didn't expect him to get that many goals last season, to be quite honest. And yeah, I have obviously given my opinion on Conor Washington. I wasn't overly excited about it. I'm still not, but obviously if he's wearing a Derby shirt, we'll get my full support. Backtracking on that one there. and obviously Sonny Bradley, Chris, I know you're a big fan of him. I bet you're happy now that's over the line.
Yeah, massive. I think that was the world's worst kept secret, wasn't it? Let's be honest. I think that with him, it's a bigger decision than a younger generation player because of obviously he has to potentially move his family. He's a family man. Although Luton's not a million miles away, I don't know exactly where his roots were laying as such, but I think that they were just putting everything in place for him so the move could literally get signed and he could get on with his life. Whereas I think with other players and other signings, you're normally fine to get the player in first and then do all the commodities as such second, or the moving and what have you. So yeah, I think it's I think he's a great sign. He's obviously going to be the captain, although saying that Hurrihan was captain in Spain. Which I don't know if that was a bluff or what. Nick, I don't know about yourself, but I'd imagine that Bradley will be probably, if not the best centre-half in League One. I certainly think he'd be probably the best leader because his interview was extremely fresh and straight to the point, wasn't it?
It was. I think for me, it was kind of, he's got a mission, and that's to get Derby County back into the Championship for the club. I think for him, I think he's a great leader. When you talk about leaders, you know, you could compare Keogh and Bradley, and what a massive difference. What a huge, huge difference between the two. For me, I like my leaders to be at the centre-back position. You know, the Igor Stimacs of the world, people like that, that are really going to give a kick up the arse to the players that are higher up the pitch from them. And I think he's going to be a massive signing for us. You know, we should be keeping a lot of clean sheets next year. I wouldn't fancy my chances if I was a centre-forward against him. I think he's a big coup for the club as well. I think it tells you everything you need to know about the club as well and how we've managed to get him, because he will have had offers from Championship clubs. There's no doubt about that. You know, whether it's Huddersfield, you know, teams like that. So for us to get him is a coup. You know, and I think sometimes although you don't necessarily need to sell the club, because I think, you know, when you see all the season ticket holders, the stadium facilities, etc., it's an easy sell, isn't it? But he's bought into, I guess, Paul Warren's plan. A lot of talk that Paul Warren couldn't attract players just because he's not a name as such, I guess. But I think he's proven that he can with a player like this.
I agree. And I don't think it's just, I don't think you can go, oh, Paul Warren's not going to attract players. I think the club's going to attract players. Derby County is going to attract players. We saw it last season. And I think we'll see it again this season. Obviously, we have had one outgoing as well, which, again, me and Chris both predicted this. Jason Knight,
yeah.
Bristol City. I think you said it as well, didn't you? Just end the last show of last season's podcast. That you reckon he'd go, and 2 million, it sounds about what we got for him. And then we've got Kane Wilson, who
we've all heard of,
class player, absolutely, mate. Yeah, he'll tear this league up.
You're watching YouTube.
To be honest, it was we'll touch on Kane Wilson first before we get to 90. But yeah, Kane Wilson, I've not really seen a great deal of him. Obviously, I know he won League Two Player of the Year a couple of seasons ago, but. When they did the welcome video, after when he got to Spain and he met with Paul Warren, Paul Warren seemed absolutely buzzing to get hold of him. We don't really see how obviously managers react when they first see their players, but that for me, he seemed like he was absolutely adamant that he wanted this player, and for him to get it, he's, you know, so Warren is clearly now on a mission to build a squad that he feels will get us out of this league. And, you know, if he's happy with someone like Kane Wilson, who, you know, can play wing back, he obviously wants to play wing backs, then happy days. I mean, what do you think, Chris? Kane Wilson, do you know, did you know much about him before we signed him, or?
I have seen him play. I saw him at Lone at Walsall. And he's quick. He's tall as well. He's 5 foot. He's nearly 6 foot. He's about 5'10". And he's got
tall.
It is for a fullback.
Okay.
You think about it. You think of mainly fullbacks are in the league. And 5'10" is a big lad. I know he got a pretty bad injury, didn't he, at Forest Green, that hindered his career. And I think that I've heard good things about him. That when I saw him at Walsall, he very much reminded me of Max of Bogle, Jaden Bogle. Very quick, direct, likes to attack. I thought his biggest weakness, of what I can remember, was his defensive prowess. But I think that's the norm now, isn't it, Nick, with every sort of wing back that's in the league. So, it sounds to me like it's interesting. I'm not sure he'll be the first choice either. You've got Elder in there and you've got Ward in there, haven't you? So I don't think that he's in there to be starting 11. I don't know what you think, Nick.
Yeah, the video that I kind of saw, was his highlights. And one thing that stuck out to me, pretty much like what you said, Chris, actually, the Jaden Bogle, he's got the know-how and the balls to cut inside, which is quite interesting. He seems to be doing that. He's comfortable on the ball. And I think as a wing-back, you've got to be, because, you know, it's traditionally an attacking kind of player, isn't it? If we go back to the whole, you know, Bradley at the back, I think we can afford for him not to be an overly great at defending, purely because we're going to have three centre-backs that are going to clear the mess out. Say, for example, any opposition that's playing with wingers and happen to take him on, you've got three centre-backs that are going to clean the mess up. So I think we need him more to be more attacking, as we do anyway, because we need to score more goals. How many times have we said that last year? One of the things we lack were goals. So for me, the defensive part of the game doesn't concern me whatsoever. I think it's about him getting down that line and getting the balls into Collins, Washington, etc., etc. And that's where we're probably going to be seeing some goals, I'd like to think. So, I'm quite impressed with him. I'm quite looking forward to it. Again, he's a hungry player that's going to have something to prove, which is absolutely ticks every box going.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually, you mentioned about his role and stuff, because I remember when we played Salford at the weekend, obviously, it's 1-0. I don't really look at these. You know, these are training games. As Warren said in his... and both his post matches, these are just training sessions. They're extra training sessions, 11 versus 11. But there was a time where we were breaking down the left hand side, and Kate and Wilson was literally just hanging out the edge of the box, and all you could hear was either Richie Barker or Warren just shouting, "Kane, get in the box!" And you know, in fact, yeah, it wasn't it. It was when Tomo skinned a player and had a shot. Probably should have laid it back. But all you really heard though was. He wants players in the box, and it seems like we are, you know, when you try and look at little details of how we're trying to play, I don't think we can really see at the minute what sort of system he's trying to play, or not system, but what sort of tactics he's trying to play. But it just seems like he wants more players in the box when we're going forward, which I feel is something that we lacked last season. So
I totally agree on that. And what I would say on that is, how many times last season did we not have wingers stroke wingbacks that were getting the ball into the box? You know, you can have as many as you want in the box, but we weren't getting the balls decent quality. I mean, how many goals did Collins score from a header or across the box, you know, kind of balls? He didn't get hardly any because the quality of the balls wasn't there. So it's great that we're getting people in the box, but we've got to have the wingbacks that can get the balls in the box.
It's interesting. I mean, sorry, Simon.
Go on. Oh, well, I was just going to say, Joe, obviously Matlock game, Joe Ward put an absolute peach of a crossing for Collins to tap in from 6 yards. That's what Chris has been saying all along, that Collins wants, Collins needs. That's his game. He's a poacher. You stick him in, you know, people sort of try and define what sort of striker somebody is. Well, James Collins is a poacher. That's what he's done his whole career. It's in around 10 yards from the goal. He's just put it on his head, put it so he can get his foot to it, let him stick it in the net. And we seriously lacked that last season. But obviously, we only saw, 60 minutes of Joe Ward or whatever against Matlock, but I liked him a lot. I said, actually, when me and Chris did a preview pod for the Peterborough game last season, I said he's going to be a threat of theirs. And I was impressed with him then, and I was impressed with him. I know it's only Matlock and it's only a pre-season, but that's what you're going to expect from him. He likes to take a shot on, and he's got a very, very good foot on him to put a ball into the box. And, you know, if Collins is going to get goals next season, that's how he's going to get it. It's from deliveries like that.
What were you going to say, Chris? No, what I was going to say was is that also, if you look at the goal that was scored against Salford, a very decent ball in. When you have the players like Collins and Washington and Lang, who are beasts, let's be honest, these are 15 and 16 stone muscle, like Nick said, workhorses. If they're in for a 50-50 challenge with a weaker fullback on the near post or far post, there's only one winner. If you watch what good centre forwards do, they never attack central. They always attack to a near or far post, because ultimately what's challenging them is a wing back. So yeah, all for it. I think, like Nick said, obviously the fullbacks have been brought in to do a job, which is distribution. I take it he's looking at one of the under 21 players to be probably the fourth choice of, you know, because you look at who he's played there at fullback at Salford and who he played at fullback, wing back at Matlock. And I just wonder whether he's got his three senior players in now, when you got the likes of Ward, Elder and Wilson, and whether he's going to bring in an under 21 to be the fourth choice, you know, and not put that much pressure on him. Because you've always got Fozzy, worst case scenario, haven't you? No disrespect to Fozzy, by the way, but you have.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though, when you obviously you mentioned Mendes Lang there and Tom Barkhuizen, where does he fit? Nick, shaking your head there. Where does he fit?
Well, I do you know what? I mean, it was interesting towards the end of the last season. Obviously, Mendes Lang was obviously, I remember him playing extra away. He went up top and I quite liked him there.
But yeah, he went up top against Salford as well, didn't he?
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see whether he's going to be the third striker and then with one of the loans as the fourth striker, let's say. But I've always, you know, a big fan of pace up front. So I can see Mendes Lang, you know, being for that top position. Mr. Barkhuizen, though, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe at home he might be playing, you know, maybe if he plays more advanced at home, play on one of the wing back positions. It's going to be an interesting one, though, isn't it? I don't think we see a natural fit for him at the minute, do we? Which is not a bad thing. It's up to him to prove where he wants to play next year, which is good.
Yeah. I agree. And I think it also gives you a bit of flexibility of you can change shape if you need to. Or the three at the back's not working. Let's go to a four. Let's put Tom out on the wing. You know what I mean? So it's all that sort of stuff. And I mean, Mendes Lang as a striker, he's certainly got the pace for it. He's got the strength, as Chris alluded to, for it as well. And I think also, my nephew texted me this as well, actually, because everyone's in the minute seems to be panicking, going, oh, we're going to get a striker. Where's the striker coming from? Even my nephew texts me. He says, what about Mendes Lang up top? And I'm thinking, why not? You know, I think you definitely need a striker in there, an experienced one, like a Collins or I suppose a Washington is an experienced striker. But putting a Mendes Lang on with his pace, with his power, with his fearlessness, if you like, you know, it's always good to have that option, I suppose. But, you know, Paul Warren at the end of his post-match conference after Salford did say he's still hopeful of getting two more attacking players in. So... And, you know, you're thinking, well, I don't see what the big panic is about getting a striker. And if we were, what, three or four days away from the first league game and we didn't have a striker, and then, yeah, I might be a little bit worried. But at the minute, I'm not, because the strikers are always the hardest players to get hold of, you know, getting the one you want. So for me, at the minute, I'm not panicking. I'm not worried. You know, it's just going to take time. You know, as Chris said, when we first did the podcast at the start of the season, he's building from the back. He's brought his goalkeeper in. He's brought his back, you know, his back line in. And, you know, now obviously with Knighty going, which we will discuss, does he bring a midfielder in as well, just to sort of cover Knighty, I suppose? Now he's gone. But, yeah, we shall soon see. But, yeah, just on Jason Hart and Nick, sad to see him go. Think it's a good deal.
I guess sentimentally, yeah, I'm sad to see him go.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, I feel that he's maybe not best performed with us due to circumstances out of his control. I don't think he's nailed down a position, which is the circumstances that's kind of happened. I would have liked to have seen him come through under Steve McLaren, you know, in a natural replacement for Brasso, for example. So I think he's been a bit unjust for that. So from terms of a good deal, I think it's a superb deal because apart from energy and legs, unless you can tell me how many goals and assists he got this season, then I think we're going to have midfielders this season that are going to get more goals and assists than what he's got. That's not necessarily a criticism of him. And again, it goes back to the old circumstances, doesn't it? You know, he's not been able to nail down a set position. So I think it's a good deal all around for us. I'm sad to see him go, though, 100%. I really am. Because I think we could have got more out of him, you know, but we haven't. So I think it's a good deal. Do I think Bristol City's a step up? No, I don't. I really don't. So a little bit surprised at that. Yes, they're in the Championship. Hopefully we'll be in the Championship next year. So, you know, Bristol City in a bit of mess last time I looked. So it's a bit of a strange move in that sense because I just don't see how he's necessarily progressing his career. I know the Republic of Ireland coach wanted him playing Championship football, but things could be very different in a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, they are hoping to get $25 million for Alex Scott, aren't they? So
this comes back to the old Derby thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, you know, take out the Narcisse contract and whatnot for next year. But why is it that we never have anyone linked for anything above $10 million?
No.
Boston, Hughes.
No.
Bird, Knight.
It's madness, isn't it?
There is no player in the Championship worth £25 million quid, is there?
There's no player worth £25 million, let alone Championship.
Yeah.
It's just a balmy, you know. I'm with you. I said to Simon last week, I don't get Bristol City move at all, other than the fact that he needs to play Championship football. Same as Bielik going to Birmingham. No ambition. It's purely just to get recognition at international level. There's no other reason for it. Because you're right, Nick. Going to Bristol City is a step down from Derby County Football Club. The only other thing I'm thinking of is that he got frustrated with where he was being played, left, right, centre. And he's always been sometimes versatile gets you stereotyped, isn't it? You don't want to be a versatile player. You want to be an out-and-out midfielder. You want to be an out-and-out box-to-box player. You want to be a fullback. You want to be a striker. You do not want to be a versatile player. Versatile never gets you a dedicated spot. So, you know, all the best to him. I'm with you, Nick. £2 million, bank it. If there's a sell-on clause with that, which I believe there is, fantastic. Let's move on.
I do think that, you know what, if he hadn't naturally took over from Brasso after that period, box-to-box midfielder down the middle, do you know what, we'd be talking $10 million for him.
I agree.
I feel genuinely gutted that, you know, due to our old chairman and all, you know, maybe even COVID, that he's just not been able to have done that because I think he could have had a really good career with us. And again, it's another one we're yet to see a Derby County youngster really progress with us, you know, to the top league.
Do you think that's
really sad. Hughes never did it either, did he? So Huddersfield never did it.
Do you think it hasn't helped because he's played under, what is it, five managers, Jason Knight?
And
he's never had opportunity to actually settle in a position because each manager has had a different look at him and give him a different sort of impression or give him a different idea of where he wants him to play, because it must be very difficult for a young player to get direction from so many different faces and voices.
And that's why sometimes managerial changes aren't good. Because there's always a manager. I mean, again, I keep using Brasso, but, you know, wasn't it when Stevie Mack came back, he ended up playing defensive midfielder? I mean, I spoke to him about that. And he owned frustrations, but, you know, it's sometimes as a player, you're forced to play in a certain position that, you know, you do it for the benefit of the team, don't you? But as a youngster, you can't really be affording to do that. You need to set your stone out straight away. And this is where I play. I'm a winger or I'm a centre-back or I'm a midfielder. In a nice case, he's got the energy. All day long, he should be a box-to-box midfielder. He's not a wide man. He's not a front man. He's a box-to-box midfielder because he's got the legs to do it. And I feel good for him that he's not done it at Derby. I really do. But you never know. He might have him on a buyback in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, apparently we've got a, what do you call it, haven't we? And we've got a sell-on clause as well.
Good.
I believe
that's
so.
All that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's quite funny. I mean, obviously, the transfer rumours now seem to have dried up, haven't they? And those that were linked have either signed new deals, or like that Lee Bonus that we spoke about, the guy from Larne, he's apparently signed a new contract.
Yeah.
Sam Smith, another player from Cambridge, he's gone to Reading. You know, so all these players that we're supposedly linked with have all got new clubs now. I just think we need to be, you know, we need to be so careful when it comes to transfer rumours, because clubs or journalists or media, whatever, will use Derby County as a big name, you know, to get their players sort of noticed. And that's what it's felt like this window, that's been the case. I know obviously we've signed Sonny Bradley and Connor Washington, both who were strongly linked. But I personally think transfer-wise, you know, everyone's, like I said to you before, everyone's going about a striker and getting this 25 or 20 goal a season striker. I think if there is something in the pipeline, we're not going to know about it until the day it's announced. That's the way I'm feeling. It feels like some of the signs we've got really have come under the radar.
I do think though, Simon, I think they were waiting on the cash from Knight. I think,
and is that as well, yeah.
The fact that it's not a structured deal. It'll be an out and out cash up front. You know, I think Derby are no more in playing around with stupid deals like the Bielik, you know, 2 million a year for 5 years nonsense. I think if you go to a club nowadays with 2 million cash for a dedicated signing, you'll do pretty well to get a decent player at 2 million quid up front. Certainly, you mentioned Clark Harris, haven't you, Simon? I don't know your thoughts, Nick. Mm. I'm not a Clark Harris fan, to be honest. Although, saying that, you know, he scored the goals in an average team, I just don't see where he fits into the Derby mould. I don't know your thoughts on that, Nick.
I like Clark Harris as a player. However. There's always got to be a however when a team like Peterborough has put him on the transfer list.
Yes.
And the question is why. So for that reason alone, I wouldn't be touching him. Obviously, he might want to leave, and then that's a different story, isn't it? Do I think he's quite similar to Washington and Collins? I do. I don't see how you can fit them three in, especially if we are going to go two up top. So we're talking pace and we're talking strength. I don't think I'd necessarily rule him out. I just don't see the fit. My concern is that he wants, you know, Peterborough transfer list in. That's my concern for me. He looked quite disinterested in the second leg game at Hillsborough as well, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a really good point.
When you have 10 behind the ball, though, I can see that, why that might happen. But I think if he joined now, I think we'd be happy, right? Because he knows where the ball is in the net, and that's what we want, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got to be careful not to nitpick too much, I suppose.
No, and obviously I know, and the thing is as well, obviously Paul warned, you know, when he likes his transfers, he has to know their personality as well. You know, they could be a top player, but if they're not willing to put the heart and soul on the line every week, then he isn't going to bother with them.
Yeah.
Obviously, the only other one we've sort of been linked with is Matt Godden from Coventry, but, you know, the minute he's in Portugal, we're training with Coventry, which, again, is that them using Derby as... Derby's name is to put interest out for their player. It's one of them. Again, I don't think he's a prolific striker overall, but he'd probably do a job in League One.
I think for me, we'll get a Premier League loan striker.
You're feeling that, yeah.
If we're going to say Mendes Lang's going to play up top, which he is, isn't he? Let's be honest, he's not going to play wing back, is he? So
we're saying that now. We're going that Mendes.
I think, to be honest,
I think it would suit him because he was bollocks, wasn't he, after 60 minutes every game playing wing back.
Yeah, all right, maybe at home, put him on the wing if we need to just play slightly higher up the pitch. Or, like you said earlier, so I changed to the 4-4-2 and we've been Barcazen on. But I think you look at it, between them three, Washington, Collins, Mendes Lang, I then think we need a kind of Lewis Dobbing kind of youngster, bit of pace, bit raw, just to add to the mix. I don't see why we would need another striker on top of that. I think you've got to be careful not to have too much squad players, because strikers need to have consistent runs if they're going to score goals. You can't just expect them to come on like we did with Jack Marriott for those last 20 minutes, expect them to score a hat-trick. They need a good consistent run. And I think if you have too many strikers, you're not going to get it. So I think for me, I would be purely happy if we get one more striker in on loan from the Premier League that's got something to prove.
Just quickly on Lewis Dobbin. Apparently, I think Portsmouth are interested in him, but they're not willing to. They're not willing to pay the £150,000 loan fee and his wages.
It surprises me that
you beat me. You beat me to it. They want they want $150,000 for him, which to me is just ludicrous. You're doing the club a favour, almost, to develop the player. Yeah, he had a pretty good. He played against Chesterfield, didn't he, at the weekend, and had a pretty good direct run. But guess where the ball ended up? He did all the hard work. He went, went side netting. And that's his problem.
Do you know why that is, though, Chris? Do you know why that is?
Go on.
Strikers don't do the training ground regimes now. Remember the old Mark Lowe in soccer school?
Yeah, yeah.
One-on-one. It's not, they don't do it anymore. How many times do you see a through ball to a striker? It's quite rare now. How many times do you see a lobbed goal, lobbed goal, a chipped goal? Mm-hmm. You don't see it. They don't, these strikers from academy level are not, they're always taught to find the better pass, not goal, goal, goal. The Gary Linekers, the Michael Owens, players like that, natural goal scores. It's so, so frustrating. But the whole Lewis Dobbin fee of 150K. We all know it's a secondary business what these Premier League clubs are doing with these youngsters. Like Chelsea loaned out 40 of them. Well, 100,000 per loan.
Isn't it? Crazy. How much?
It's a secondary business. And the only reason that they're signing them is so the other teams don't have them. That's all it is. They've got no interest in them being in the first team. It's a secondary business and it's wrong because years gone by, these Premier League clubs, like Chris was saying, would loan out these youngsters to get them trained up better, ready to go to the back to the parent club to get first team football. That's the whole point of a loan. It's just all wrong now.
It allows you to see progress and scout the player without playing him at a level at under 21s where, let's be honest, you're not going to get an honest opinion. When you watch a player for 2 years play at under 21 level, you don't get the full understanding of and all the capabilities of that player. That's fact, you know. And this is why I believe that you're right, Nick. It's become a secondary business. It becomes now a bread and butter income for Premier League teams. You'll see more and more of them doing it. And I just think that, you know, if Dobbin wants to be a journey person, then fair play to him. I don't think he'll come back to Derby. I've seen some fans on social media saying they should bring him back. Sorry, but no, not for me. I think something fresh will come in. Otherwise, Warren would have had him back in the through the door first week.
Yeah, I agree.
One player though, that you know, youngster that has, I do quite like the look of. That I've seen in the preseason game so far is I don't know how to say his first name, Dajuan Brown. He's a young lad. He's 18, playing up front. He looks full of energy, power, pace. I would quite like to, and obviously I think Warren's quite likes him as well because he's been training with the first team at the back end of last season. He looks like he could be a good player. So I wonder if it is. I mean, at the minute, just looking through our squad, we've got about 20 players, which, you know, Warren's, you know, and I was thinking that we're playing these pre-season. I know we've got players who've been obviously out, you know, in international breaks and a couple holding a few knocks, but we do seem to have a really, really small squad. I didn't realise how small it was. But yeah, Brown, I don't know what your thoughts on him are, you guys, but I've been quite impressed by him.
I know nothing really about him, to be honest. But from what I did see, a very short video clip, quite a stocky lad, isn't he? I think. I guess if we want to go forward, he's got to be given a chance, hasn't he? I.e., you know, not being loaned out. I mean, we lost Cebulski on loan, didn't we? Did he go down to the National League or something? And then,
he
went to Matlock.
Did he go to Matlock? Yeah. So, you know, I'd like to see these youngsters be given a chance. So, you know, when I just said to you, oh, let's get that fourth striker in as a lone player, should we be doing that? Or should we be trying to get these academy lads through? Because otherwise he's just never going to get a chance. And if I think it's for him as a player, he's now got 3 weeks before that Premier League loan window really comes into fruition to really push for a place next year. And it'd be nice to see. It'd be really nice to see.
Definitely. I think, you know, this is now the time that you can do it is impressing in pre-season.
Yeah,
we're only playing Chesterfield on Wednesday night, but let's say he plays 45 minutes against Chesterfield and you go, tell you what, I'm really starting to know this guy. Because what you do, you notice players that you've not seen before, players that you haven't seen before and don't do anything, you don't notice. Players that you haven't seen before and all of a sudden you go, well, I like this kid, I like this guy. You know they're doing something right. And for me, he was that guy. It's the same with Ben Ratcliffe as well. He seemed to have been, I'm not quite sure what his natural position is, to be honest. I don't know if he's a centre midfielder or a wide midfielder or what, but again, he's another one that obviously he scored against Matlock. And again, he played his part in both games as well. So interesting to see. Don't just love pre-season and predicting how that's going to go and then being absolutely wrong when it gets down to the nitty gritty.
I think he's just borrowed him, to be honest. I think he's borrowed him. Yeah. Not to wear out. Yeah, ultimately, you don't want your senior players playing 90 minutes at the moment at this stage, you know. So the youth, when you've got youth on your side, you'll run around like a headless chicken in all weathers and all conditions. So I wouldn't look too much into it, to be honest.
No, it's mental though. There's only 3 preseason games left. Then we play Wigan. It's crazy. It seems to be going very quick. We'll move on then to questions from fans then. These are all from TikTok. Craig Venus mentions, do you think we're going to go big for a striker? We've sort of answered that. So Michael says, do you think Bird will be vital this season or push to the side? Interesting.
Good question. Nick?
That is a good question. When Chris needs time to think, he pushes it into someone else.
I'm just waiting for the however.
What was the question, Si, by the word?
Do you think Max Bird will be vital this season or will he be pushed to the side?
I'm surprised that we're thinking that he's going to be pushed to the side. I think this year for Max, he's got to step up to the plate in terms of what he actually offers and does.
He's got to be the Barry Bannon, hasn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 100%. I think he's got to be offering more goals, control, assists. And I think, you know, with his passing ability, you know, you look at how we're going to be playing up, we've got to be thinking that these wing-backs are going to be getting in pockets. I'd like to think he's going to be punching 3 balls to the 2 strikers. It's a big season for him. I don't think for 1 minute it'd be pushed aside. His mentality, though, has got to be, I want to be here. I don't want us to be in a situation where he's perhaps Jason Knight looking for a way out of the club, etc. You know, I don't know that. I don't know if Paul Warren's in his head. He might want to go. We don't know. So he's got to be committed. My gut feeling is if he's not starting, he don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I think for me, going forward, next 2-3 years is going to be crucial to the plan of where we want to be, which is get promoted, i.e. want to be in the Premiership within 2 years after that. He's got an opportunity to cement that number 8 shirt in that middle of the pitch and really make a difference. But his mindset has got to be that he wants to do that. He wants to buy into this 2-3 year plan, not I want to play well to move clubs.
Yeah.
So if he is pushed to the side, it's because he don't want to be here and he'll be gone.
Oh, interesting. Chris, anything else to add on that?
I don't think he'll have the armband. I think that's hindered his progress. We spoke about Max Bird at work, and one of the guys I worked with came up with a really good point that if you were a pundit or if you were a observer of League One football, would Max Bird's name come in the top 5 midfielders off the top of your head? And it's a good question. It's a good point. I'm not convinced that he would come into the top 5 of people's mindset. Well, we've said, Nick, when me and Simon have said this is the wrong league for him, we think it's too much. I think it's too much rough and tumble for him. He needs decent time on the ball. He needs width. I'm not sure League One's is bag, to be honest.
But what about, like Si said there, what about Barry Bannon? If you have control, this year we're going to have control of the ball more than we've ever done, I think. This is the time where you don't necessarily need your physical powerhouse in midfield. He doesn't need to be physical. He just needs to control the game, like pretty much like Bannon does, one of the smallest players ever going in football. He just needs to control it. It's as simple as that.
But he's another guy. I don't know his stats, Nick and Simon. I'm not sure that they actually jump out off the page, though, do they? Like, we were all surprised when Hourihan got into the league team of the year and someone read his stats out and went, really? Yeah, he was in double figures for goals and assists. I don't think Max is he? But again,
nowhere near.
It comes back to another question, guys. He's a young player, been with Derby now for a long time. What is his position? What is his natural position?
Well, put it this way, he's not going to be collecting balls from the goalkeeper, is he, anymore?
No.
Because obviously that back three. So that's going to go. So for me, he's got to be bang on the centre circle, traditional number eight, with a radius of only moving between the centre circle, if you like, 10 yards back, 10 yards forward, picking them balls up, edge of the box, screamers, 30-yard goal.
You mean like a George Thorne?
No, because I think George Foreman's a bit more defensive. I think for me,
attacking wise, though,
I mean, that goal at Huddersfield, superb. Ooh,
Doncaster, was it Doncaster's debut goal where he pinged it from the outside of the box?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like I think, like Chris said, he's got to decide how he wants to play the game. And of course, we don't know. He might be asked to do something else, but for me, Birdie has got to control the game. It's as simple as that. Let Hourihan do the set-piece magic. Bird needs to control the game, getting them balls out wide, channels, etc. For me, that's the position that I think he needs to. And he's more than capable. And Chris, to be fair, he's not that young. He's about 23 now.
but he's been with Derby, since he was 11, 12?
Yeah.
That's my...
I want him to succeed. I want him to succeed at Derby. I don't want another Jason Knight.
This is another situation where I think that development and youth has been put on the shelf because of the desperation that Derby have had the last 3 or 4 years to get bodies on the pitch, and I don't think it's helped the players that we have to become better, because I think they've been put in positions and they've been put in slots through almost desperation and not through actually their ability. And I think that now we're finding out that their peak, where we should be looking to get bids of 5 to 10 million for Max Bird. We should be having Louis Sibley on the back page of most Sunday tabloids and Max Bird. People in the Premier League want them. Reality is, you don't see their names linked with anybody, guys, in the upper echelons of the Premier League. And it tells you everything you need to know about Derby County's youth policy. Now, you know, Pat's gone out the door now and Dan's gone out the door, which is very sad. Big fans of both of them, but they've gone for whatever reason. Now, you know, there's a big challenge now, whoever comes through that door. Big, big challenge.
It is, Chris, but I think it's going to be refreshing that we've got fresh eyes on the whole academy. I think it's fresh eyes that whoever comes in has the interests of Derby County more so at heart than said individual players. And I think a change is needed. There's one thing getting players out of the youth team into the first team. But there's another, obviously, making sure that it continues and continues with best interests of the football club at heart. I think it's a welcome change, personally.
Yeah, all right, great. So on to the next one then. Corey Smith Goat says, would you take Scott Hogan? As I saw, we were linked with him.
He's about 35, isn't he, now?
I have no idea.
No.
I'm going to have to put it on the Google. That was easy then. Next. So that's a no from Nick. Chris, would you take Scott Hogan?
No.
I'll tell you why, though.
He's 31.
Is he 31? He knows where the back of the net is.
Broke his leg twice, wasn't he?
He broke his leg twice,
if I remember rightly. He definitely broke his leg at Villa. He got that big move to Villa. And then did he break his leg within like a week or two? Because he was like mustered it. Was he at Brentford? He made his name at Brentford, didn't he? Got his big move to Villa.
Yes.
And I'm sure he broke his leg, didn't he?
You see, this is the thing for me, Chris. We need to be getting away from not has-beens as such. I'm not saying Hogan can't do a job, because he probably can do a job. But, you know, the past 5-6 years, we've signed has-beens that haven't cut it at Derby. For me, I want hungry players that have got something to prove. And I think the players that we've got are doing are hungry players. I think Hogan's going to come in, you know, I may aim my words here, but I've signed for Villa, played for Birmingham, played at the highest level. I can do this quite easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And we don't want that. We want hungry players that want to play at a high level.
Yeah, I agree. Just on that then, do you agree that Derby fans need to stop going back wanting ex-players that gave us good times? We need new players to create that new history. That's spot on, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, it depends who it is. Who are we talking about?
I don't know. I think there was a lot of stuff about Chris Martin a couple of weeks back when he was left. Chris has been banging about Will Hughes returning one day.
I've said this, that Hughes will come back.
He will.
Chris said the same. You've probably been chatting.
It's my tweet. I'm claiming this. He will come back in 2 years' time and captain Derby County to the Premier League.
Yeah, I agree.
Calling it now. He will play the Barry Bannon role. He will control things. So we'll see a midfield of Bird, Hughesy, and Jason Nile come back as well.
Well, yeah, true. He's got a point, though. There is a lot of, you see it a lot. Like, oh, I know someone said to me, would you take Vidra back? I'm like, no, not now. He's, you know what I mean? There's a reason why he's playing in the Austrian League rather than the Premier League or Championship or something like that. Yeah. For me,
he's injured. I think he's working out in Czech Republic, isn't he? He's coming back. Do you know what, though? The refreshing side of this is that it just shows, you know, kind of how welcoming as a club we are and as a fan base we are to players. I'm not saying it's right that we should want every ex-player back, but it shows that we're quite a decent fan base and we're not like straight on the backs, get them out of the club, apart from an ex-centre-back captain. But that's a different story because that totally splits the fan base, doesn't it?
Yup. Definitely. I agree. Jack says, how many is Collins scoring this season? I'm going to let Chris answer that. He's a big fan of Collins.
20.
Oh, he's gone 20. He's gone Collins.
Nick already said it, exactly what he said. When you've got fullbacks who can ping a ball in on that 6-yard line, which keepers absolutely hate. Well, the gap between the 6-yard line and the penalty spot, you know, Sam, as a keeper, is horrible. It's a horrible place for a goalkeeper to attack a ball that's zipped in. So 20 goals all day long. And I think you'll see him start off. I think he'll be the starting nine. I really do. Warren loved him.
He does. I think the only reason he was on a back foot was because he got suspended and then Didzy came in and Didzy did his thing, didn't he, last season? So I just think, as Nick said, striking his game times consistently, and he never really got that last season. I mean, I was all for signing Collins, you know, last season. I generally, when, you know, when, who are we going to get in and stuff, I was for, well, look at Collins' record in League One with Luton. He was mustard. So there is a player in there. He's just playing to his strengths.
I think this is why we were having this discussion, weren't we? Like, you know, last time I was on about the whole Dixie thing. And this is exactly it. We're all talking, we're saying, will we be better off as a team without him? And I genuinely believe that we will be. And that's not taking anything away from him because he's a superb player. But I think collectively we will get more goals with two out-and-out strikers rather than a Didzy that would come back just off the striker.
Yeah, I mean, it felt last season we were playing to Didzy's strength, you know, putting the ball to his feet, not really knocking it in behind the back four for someone to chase. And if you have got a Collins, who is not the fastest, but if you've got a Collins and another, you know, a Washington or a Mendes Lang that's going to get in behind, you've got goals there, and you've got them to who also can create. You know, I like to look at the Nugent and Vidra partnership. You had Little and Large there. You know, Vidra was the little poacher in the box, and Nugent did all the hard work, let's be honest. And so, you know, and I think Collins needs someone like that next to him. And he's, you know, like as you said, with Washington, you know, with another striker or Mendes Lang, he's potentially going to get that. Plus, he's going to get balls in the box from the likes of Joe Ward, you know, who can, you know, pinpoint across. So I do think this season Collins does, you know, he won't be happy with his season last season. No striker will be happy with 11 goals. And I think this season he knows he's got to step up, because I think he realises that he actually could be the main man. You know, and Warnie, as soon as Warne came in last season, you could already see he was a big fan of Colo. You know, he said it himself. He's my superstar.
Tried to sign him previously, hasn't he? A couple of times.
Yeah. So I think now he's had a season with him, and now he's got a pre-season with him, and he's building a squad that's going to suit the way he wants to play. Then we could see, again, a different side to Collins that we maybe didn't see last season. So 20 goals then, that's what you're both saying.
Yeah.
We'll soon see you then, come May next year. Sam Lavacombe says, what positions do you think we should get loans in for? Well, you've already said striker, haven't you, Nick?
Yeah. If we're not going to, if that round doesn't do any, you know, major, if Brown, we've got 3 pre-seasons game, haven't we, in the next couple of weeks. If all of a sudden Brown puts himself about, starts getting 2 or 3 goals, then you might think, actually, maybe not. But I think for me, just a striker, I don't, maybe a flash midfielder, maybe. As well, yeah. On the side note, I reckon.
Yeah, I think maybe midfield just for now. I mean, the thing is, you look at our midfield, who we've got in there, we've got Horahan, Smith, Bird, Rooney could play there as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that. Rooney getting a 3-year deal, great player. I think you'll see a midfielder come good out of that young man. I think he's got great ability. I think the surgery's been done, guys. I think the surgery has been done on the team fundamentally, which was the back. We leaked in some silly goals. Yeah. We weren't creating from the wings, as Nick has said. That surgery has now been done very, very quickly. The midfield now, you've got enough quality in that midfield even now to walk this league. We'll certainly get in the top two, because this league isn't the same as it was last year. It just isn't.
No.
I think there's two to come in, two loans. I said to Simon, I'm not a fan of loans, to be honest, at this level. I think that the club should be big enough to attract quality to have a firm 2-year, 3-year deal. I think loans come in when you can't find that perfect fit. Dobbin and Adoru, classic examples last year. They had all this...
Asula, sorry.
Adoro.
He's gone out, hasn't he, Adoro?
He's gone out. Well, there you go. Yeah. Asula and Dobbin both came with incredible potential, pace and power. Ultimately, both failed. And we haven't had
With Asula, I would have liked to have seen him up with two strikers. I think he had something about him. But again, he very much felt that because he was only striker up front, particularly when he played with Didsey, he was always getting the ball to his, you know, his back to the ball. You know, you look at his goals at Accrington. Through balls.
Yeah. But Nick, who was the best loan signing of recent years? And we can go back
Leon
to
Osman.
Leon Osman. Okay.
Everybody says that.
I, do you know what? I'm going to pull one out of the bag here that someone mentioned to me, and it's just his birthday. Arturo Lupoli.
Oh, what a player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a player.
Now, I forgot how good he was, and he was in a very average team.
Yeah.
Now, he was on loan from Arsenal, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. And he was fantastic. And I thought to myself, what a great shout, Arturo Lupoli. So... You know, it goes back. Yeah, you know,
back some important goals he did.
But Nick, yeah, exactly. But Nick, you've gone back down to Leon Osman as the best loan player, which tells you for the last 10 years we haven't really had any success. Bamford, to be fair, was a success at some point. John Stead was.
John Stead.
Was very good with Howard. Yeah, Macken wasn't.
Andre Wisdom.
Yeah. But
at the time, Andre Wisdom was a superb loan signing at the time. George Form was a good loan signing at the time.
Mm.
But
we're all about actual someone to hit the ground running. And see, they were lucky. Thorne was lucky that he came into a very good team, let's be honest. He came into a good side.
Tom Ince.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
We've just totally forgot 2 players that I can't believe any of us have mentioned.
Go on.
Because one's just gone for transfer for about 80-odd million quid.
Go on. Oh, Mason Mount and
Harry Wilson.
Yeah, Tomori.
Tomori.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were plucked by Frank himself.
They were loan players there. I mean, Mason Mount, I mean,
cracking players.
Do you know what? If we'd gone up and Lampard had stayed, I reckon we'd have got him for another year.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's he's on the overlap with Gary Neville, and he talks about his time at Derby. And I think had we gone up, he wouldn't have gone to Chelsea.
Does he? What does he say?
Just listen to what he was saying. He was sort of, he wanted to go up, but he knew he wouldn't get the budget or anything that he got the season before. So he was sort of like, and then obviously Chelsea came knocking, and basically Mel gave him a contract, but Mel basically went to him and says, well, it's Chelsea, ain't it? So I think I know where you're going.
About Lampard.
Lampard was on it. Yeah, so it was an interesting listen, to be honest. And it was just, I think the way things were, I think he regrets the way, in fairness, he says his biggest career regret is not getting Derby County promoted that season.
Well, when you start Mason Mount up front, that's what's going to happen.
Well, this is it. He said, he did sort of look back at that game and regret some of the decisions he made. But and I was thinking, go on, say it. You know exactly what the decision that you made was wrong was, but he didn't actually come out with it. But yeah, it's quite an interesting little piece he does on it, to be honest. But yeah,
it was the most bizarre scenario of a selection, I think we've all openly admitted in the recent history of Derby County, to take off a player in the first half in the previous game, to replace him with a guy who completely changes the whole game, and then to revert back to it, it's just ludicrous. But you know what? It's cost Frank his career in managerial. Like, he fell on his feet at Chelsea twice, which is bonkers. Yeah. And Everton was, well, that's a, you know, Ancelotti could only get to 11th, so what chance has bloody Frank Lampard got? You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Anyway.
That's it, yeah. But John Mill 90 says, do you feel that something truly special is building? You know what? I'm starting to get a feeling that it might be. Do you know, and I think me and Chris touched on it actually last week. One of the reasons is because this pre-season is really boring when it comes to the previous pre-seasons we had over the last 5 or 6 years, if not more. It feels like we're quietly just going about our business, being a normal club, and we're quietly building. We've got a manager that knows this league like the back of his hand. He knows how to get out of this league. And I just think that at the minute as it stands, everything's heading in the right direction. For once, the club feels not, I'd say, more stable than it has done for a while now under David and, you know, with Paul Warren at the helm. I just think we're now looking at a manager who knows who he wants in what position, how he wants his team to play, and he's buying players to suit that, not just buying players because of their name. So I do feel we are actually building something quite special here, and I do think, you know, we will get out of this league this year.
Nick, I said last week that this league, to me, this year is probably more... I think the playoff places will be an interesting dilemma. I think there'll be a few dark horses in there. But I think the challenge for the top two is between three or four clubs. And I would be highly disappointed with the work that's already been put in place now and the quality of the league that it is compared. Because let's be honest, the teams that have come down are all in deep doo-doo, Nick. Reading are going to be in trouble with embargoes and God knows what. Wigan are already at -8.
Haven't Reading paid it off now or something?
I don't know, but when they're selling players, like they're getting rid of players for peanuts and releasing people left, right, and centre, they obviously haven't got a budget. And then you've got Blackpool, who, you know, they have their own problems. Nick, I personally think Portsmouth is the only challenge. And possibly Bolton. Yeah. I think Barnsley's steam would have gone
Someone said here, not to do Derby directly, but thoughts on Barnsley's circumstances and with this information, where do you think it will finish? Because aren't they going through similar to what we went through? I'm sure Barnsley have had. I did hear it the other week about Barnsley potentially being in sort of administrative trouble.
Wow. They did invest a lot of money, didn't they, on trying to get up. They were spending, they were signing players at £1 million plus. So, Nick, thoughts on challenges?
Well, I'll tell you what, talking of Barnsley.
They've been charged with multiple breaches of EFL regulations, including failure to provide governing body. Oh, gosh, why did it have to cut off? Governing body with correct and complete information regarding the shareholdings of the club.
Well, that didn't sound good.
No.
I'll tell you another charge that it should be done for. Their players, after beating in the semi-final, walking around their stadium on the pitch drinking beer, I think, and they've won something.
Oh, wow. Gosh. That's not great,
I found that absolutely shocking. Not that I'm bothered that they're drinking beer. I'm not. But
was that after they got beat by Peterborough?
No, they beat... who did Barnsley beat? God, I can't remember. Who did Barnsley beat in the playoffs?
Remember the semi-final. Well, Peterborough got knocked out by Sheffield
Bolton.
Wednesday.
Bolton. Barnsley-Bolton. It would have been Barnsley and Bolton, wouldn't it?
So yeah. They'd obviously beat him up. They were walking around drinking cans of beer and bottles of beer. Taking photos. And I'm thinking, that mindset is totally wrong. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. To me, applaud the fans, straight and change the room, one more to go. So I'm glad they lost and all that. In terms of Derby, though, I think we've got to be very, very careful. We have been in this situation before where we thought we had the best players. The level of expectation in and around the club is going to be huge, more so than ever, which doesn't help. That's something Warne hasn't dealt with before in his career because he's obviously been at smaller clubs. And I think we've just got to be really careful and, you know, just give it time. These players are going to take time to gel. You know, if we're not top by October, there's going to be a social media meltdown. If we're not winning every game 4-0 at home, there's going to be meltdowns galore. We've all got to keep our heads, and the end game is after 46 games. It's simple as that.
Good point.
Level of expectation does not help us. It never has done in the past, and this year is going to be no different. I'm excited by it. This is the first phase of the rebuilding. Not to say that it's right yet. It could well be next year before we get it and we start replacing the likes of Mendes, Lang, Barkays and Bird. We might have to go to another phase. Chris, you're exactly right. This league is probably the weakest that it's been, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to run it, I don't think. I still think we're going to be a scope for many clubs that we're going to have to go and visit, i.e. the Exeters, the Cambridges, the Oxfords again. They're going to still want to beat us and we've still got to deal with that pressure. But without sounding all negative, it does look rosy and I'd be surprised if we're not in that top three come the end of the season. I just don't want, though, as a fan base, for us to go all guns blazing that we're going to walk the league. I've seen it before. Don't want to see it again because it just don't work.
That's a great point, Nick. That is, yeah, it is. Expectation. We do mount a lot of pressure on ourselves. So, to be honest, we've got to celebrate the wins, but carry on supporting and being there, even if we don't get the wins.
You know,
even if we do get a shit 1-0 defeat in the last minute against an Exeter or something daft like that.
Because that
happens in football. You know, look at Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth last season. They all had little times of the season where things weren't going to plan. Look at Ipswich. Ipswich didn't get off to a flyer, not really. They were third, second bouncing, and it wasn't until the last sort of quarter of the season that they flew up the table. You know, and everybody thought, I think Plymouth may be an exception. They had a little bit of dip, but their fans stuck with them. The players continued performing, and then they got the job done. And you know, again, Sheffield Wednesday, their fans really got a bit overexcited. Thought, that's it, we were pissed this league. And then, obviously, I know they got up, exactly, but they did it the hardest way that they can.
The greatest way, though.
Well, yeah. I'd rather go up automatically than get into the playoffs, to be honest.
This way, it's near enough in 30 years since we have. So.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I do think there will be a challenge from a club that comes up as well. But I do think that if Derby are level-headed, like Nick said, and expectation... I'm terrible for it. There's me turning around saying we need to be level-headed, and there's me 10 minutes ago saying we're going to walk the league. Look, my enthusiasm always gets the better of me. I've always been an optimist. I just think that this league is nowhere near the league it was last year. Let's see.
Sound then. Okay, then. To finish the questions, then, it's from Lucas_H75. He says, what do you think will be our starting 11 when everyone is fully fit? It's early, so we could put the feelers out now. So, well, okay, I tell you what, we'll go through position then. We'll play a 3-5-2 goalkeeper then. You're assuming it's going to be either Vickers or Wildsmith. Chris, who are you going for?
Vickers.
Nick?
Wildsmith. Did you say Vickers, Chris?
Yeah.
Wow. Surprised at that.
Vickers. I'm going Vickers as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Wildsmith wrong?
Wildsmith, well, no, but he wasn't warned signing. And Vickers, clearly, they said to the goalkeeper coach, go and pick someone who you want. And he's gone back to someone who he's had twice before. And he said that keeping fit, he's the best keeper in the league. And that's the challenge. So
good situation to have though, right?
Absolutely. Without doubt.
I think it's the first time in a while we've had two decent keepers.
Yeah. Mm. Like the old Anthony Grant, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Short with Martin Taylor.
Pooman Holt.
Holt gets himself knocked out at Forest and comes Poo.
I know. Amazing. Back three then. Who are we going with, Chris?
Sonny Bradley, Erin Cashin, and Curtis Nelson.
Nick?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if anyone, unless you're going to say something totally different, Simon, it's going to be them three. There's no doubt about it.
Just to chuck it in there, I'm putting Fozzie in as well.
I'll be eight.
I'm going Fozzie, Bradley, and Nelson.
Really?
You think Cash is going to go?
I don't know. I've got a thing in the back of my mind that someone's going to come in for him right at the end of the window.
Okay.
I don't know why. Right, and the midfield three then. Chris, hit me.
Horihan. Corey Smith. I've got a feeling he'll go with Bird. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in. But that your current squad with the players that fit at the moment, there you go. But you want five, don't you? Sorry. Ward, midfield, Horihan, Bird and Smith.
Nick, same.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm the same on that as well. Can't really disagree. Wing backs then, or your wingers, whatever you want to call them.
Elder and Ward.
Yeah. Elder and Ward, yep, same here. Top two then. Who are we going for, Chris? To start, this is the Wigan game. Who are you picking up your top two of the current squad we've got available?
Lang and Collins.
Nick. Lang and Collins. Yeah. Amazingly.
If Lang isn't the fittest player in that football club at the moment, I don't know what is, because he's been on international duty. Yeah. So yeah. He should be absolutely ripe and ready to go.
You know what? Him going for that little tournament with Guatemala could probably be one of the best things to happen for us.
Yep.
Because he's had a little bit of a break and now he's at his fitness playing games rather than doing all the boring running shit that everyone else has had to do. So I think that can be a positive. And again, as we've said, I think, yeah, playing him as a wing back, he can only give us 60 minutes. Playing him as a striker.
Where's he been playing for the country?
I'm not quite sure. I know he bagged an assist.
He's going to be an attacking player, isn't he? Of course. He's not going to be a silly wing back.
I'm not quite sure without doing any research.
But I think as well for him, it's going to make him a bit more hungry as well. You know, not to say that he's, you know, placing the national teams at risk, but you know, if he's an international footballer, he's got to maintain a really, really high level rather than just being a third division player like he was before. So it's going to be good, good for him. And I don't know when their international break is, but we could have some games suspended then if Cashin, Horihan, does he Horihan even play anymore? I don't know.
No,
I'm not convinced he does.
No, so we still ain't got that many internationals then, have we?
I don't even know what tournament he was playing in.
Gold Cup, I think it was.
Gold Cup.
The what?
The CONCACAF Gold Cup, isn't it?
Ah, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's have a...
It's like the Central American, Caribbean, North American. It's like the North American Central America tournament, isn't it?
Yeah. And Johnny had a guy on there, didn't he, a few years ago?
Yeah. And then they're playing...
I knew I'd heard of it before.
Aren't they vying, basically, for the opportunity to get a better seed in the World Cup? I can't remember how it works.
So Mendes Lang played in the on the left hand side of a front three.
Okay, there you top then. Basically.
So yeah. It looks like it could be. Let's be honest. Warren tried to use him as a forward last season. I think if he gets a little bit of a pre-season playing as a forward with Collins or Washington or whoever, we might see a different side to him. Can he back? He scored a fair few last season. You know, so I'm all
from outside the box, though, weren't they?
You are?
All outside the box, weren't they? Most of his goals, if I remember right.
Yeah, it seemed the closer he was to the goal, the harder he found it to score. I remember at Portsmouth, he had that chance to hit the post, didn't he? Where he was like 8 yards out. So can Warren make him more clinical? That would be the question. If he can.
Down and jobs are good.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, Jermaine Defoe has been down, hasn't he? So just bring him back down again for a week, you know.
The proper striker coaches that can do that, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's all we need. So, yeah. But I tell you what, it's going to be an interesting season. I am looking forward now to Wigan at home. Like I say, it's only a couple of weeks away now. It's amazing how quick it's been. The Ashes to keep me entertained until then, so. we spoke cricket last time. We'll not do it again. It's fine. But yeah, guys... Thank you again for your time tonight. Guys on TikTok who gave us all the questions, again, appreciate it, a lot of them. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember to like, share, and subscribe, and we shall see you next time. And as always, come on, Derby.